Heavenly Father, you say to us in Psalm 139, verses 1 to 3, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Dear God, you know us the best because you made us and you love us. And so please help us today to learn from your wisdom about how we should structure our lives. And please help us to be wise about how we can do this in a society like ours today. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, do you ever wonder if you're doing enough? Do you ever ask yourself questions like, am I working hard enough? Am I earning enough? Am I exercising enough? Am I giving enough time to my family? Am I eating healthy enough? Am I giving enough of my time and energy to God? There are so many different messages that we receive in our society. There are social media posts and videos that make us feel inadequate. We get those little side comments from our friends and family that make us feel like a disappointment to them. There are government campaigns that give the impression, look, everyone else is doing this. Why aren't you doing it? Do you ever wonder if you're doing enough? Or maybe on the flip side of that, do you ever sometimes wonder if you're doing too much? Whether maybe those proportions of your lives are all out of whack. Your work versus your rest versus your play. Your time with family versus time with friends versus time by yourself. Your time spent learning versus time spent doing versus time spent passing on what you know to the next generation. Do you ever wonder if you're doing too much in any of those areas and not enough in others? How do you think you'd find out the answers to any of those questions? Some people might say, well, it's just about what kind of person you are. It's about how you deal with each of those things, right? Introvert, more time by yourself. Extrovert, more time with people, that kind of thing. Some people might turn to science to find the answers. I've heard it said, for example, our ancient ancestors with the hunter-gatherer lifestyle, they used to walk 10 to 15 kilometers a day, and so we should as well. Or you might have heard a lot in our church, especially, oh, it's all about the heart, right? Just do as much good as you can. Just love God and do what you will. That's what the theologian Augustine said. But I think there's a little bit more that can be said here. Because even though we might think this is the kind of person I am, well, God knows who we are, and he knows that even better than we do. Even though we might look to science to see how we are built, God is the one who made us. He put us together. And even though we might let the word shape our hearts and just try to do as much good as we can, there are bits in God's word that speak directly to this issue and are meant to shape our hearts. And so today I want to introduce you to two proportions, two ratios that guided and balanced the lives of God's people. And we're going to explore how we can live out those proportions today in what I think is a much, much more complex world. The two proportions I'm going to be talking about, they come from the Old Testament law. They were commands that God gave to his people. But it's also important to remember that when God gives commands, when God gives laws, he doesn't just give the laws just because he feels like it. And he doesn't just give laws just to make his life easier. No, God gives commands and laws because they are genuinely what is best for his people. They are a window into who we are and what we are made for. The laws are meant to sync well with the kind of people we are. And so that's why, you know, you shall not murder is not just don't murder people. It's also, we are all made in the image of God. Human life is precious. We're meant to respect each other's right to life. Only God has the right to decide who lives and who dies. You shall not covet. It's not just don't envy other people. It's also everything we have is from God. God gives us much more than we deserve. God wants us to be content with what he gives. He wants us to depend on him to look after us. It is that kind of thing. It's always deeper than we think. And so we're going to see the same thing with these two ratios in God's law. They're not just random commands. They reflect how we are made. They reflect God's created order. And these two ratios are gods 1 in 7 and gods 1 in 10. And so first, gods 1 in 7. This is the Sabbath day. This is a ratio of time. It's about how you balance your life between work and rest. And we see this in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 12 to 15. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. The ratio here is pretty clear, isn't it? One out of every 7 days, one of them was dedicated to God. And this passage gives us a few reasons for doing so. You see, firstly, it is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. It's a day that's meant to be dedicated to God to worship him. Second, you can also see it's not just humans who rest, but also animals who rest as well. And if you look at Genesis chapter 2, you see that God created the world in 6 days and he rested on the seventh. You also see that in Exodus, once in every 7 years, God's people had to give the land, the fields, a rest as well. And so this ratio of 1 in 7 is baked into all of creation. It is how we are all made because it's how God made us. And then third, you might have noticed in verse 15, it says, "You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm." God is saying here that when you guys were slaves in Egypt, they didn't treat you like people. They treated you like tools. You were only valuable because of your work, your productivity. That is all you meant to them. But now I've brought you out of this because you're more than that. You are more than just tools. You're more than just your labor, more than just your work. You are meant for God. And taking time out from your work, that 1 in 7, is meant to remind you of that. And that's what the Jews did. When they left Egypt, they dedicated 1 day to worship God. They gathered together for worship, kind of like what we're doing now in church. And we know this because Jesus would often go into synagogues to teach on the Sabbath. Any work that they needed to do for the Sabbath day, they did it in the 6 days beforehand. They planned ahead. And they didn't do any buying or selling on the Sabbath. Again, that was for the other 6 days of the week. The Sabbath for the Jews was Saturday. That's why the Seventh-day Adventists keep a Saturday Sabbath nowadays. But the early Christians, they changed the Lord's Day to Sunday as a way to celebrate that Jesus rose from the dead. This gives rise to a joke that the British preacher Charles Spurgeon told. Every week, Spurgeon rode to his church in a carriage pulled by 2 horses, Brownie and Brandy. On one occasion, a man came to Spurgeon's house and accused his horses of breaking the Sabbath. So Spurgeon said his horses were Jewish and worshipped on Saturday, not Sunday. But whenever God's people rested, they rested to remember that their work didn't define them. They rested to remember that they were made for more than work. They were made for God. And we need to hear the same message too, don't we? I wonder whether you've ever tried to remember the tune of a song. Or maybe you've tried to sing a song when there's a different song playing in the background. It's really hard, isn't it? And I think it's the same kind of thing with trying to remember God in the middle of work during the week. When there are all these tasks to do, emails to answer, jobs to fulfill, that's the noise. And it just crowds out everything else. It's really hard to remember God in the middle of all that. And I think that the Sabbath is God's way of saying, look, I get that, right? You got to work, you got to live. But God says, give me 1 day where the song that is in your head is mine. And that's part of the reason why our church is on every Sunday. It's to get our heads out of the earthly work that we do and remember what we are meant for. We are meant to worship God. We are meant for God's glory. We are more than what we do. We are more than what we earn. We are more than what we produce. We are the people of God who are loved by Him. And that's the first ratio that guided the lives of God's people. It was their 1 in 7. The second ratio that we see from the Bible is God's 1 in 10. This is called the tithe. Tithe just means giving a tenth. It's a ratio of how you divide your spending between yourself and God. We see this in passages like Numbers chapter 18, verses 21 to 26. To the Levites, I have given every tithe in Israel for an inheritance, in return for the service that they do, their service in the tent of meeting, so that the people of Israel do not come near the tent of meeting, lest they bear sin and die. But the Levites shall do the service of the tent of meeting, and they shall bear their iniquity. It shall be a perpetual statute throughout your generations, and among the people of Israel they shall have no inheritance. For the tithe of the people of Israel, which they present as a contribution to the Lord, I have given to the Levites for an inheritance. Therefore I have said of them that they shall have no inheritance among the people of Israel. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Moreover, you shall speak and say to the Levites, When you take from the people of Israel the tithe that I have given you from them for your inheritance, then you shall present a contribution from it to the Lord, a tithe of the tithe. Now there were 12 tribes in the people of Israel. For one of the tribes, the Levites, they were special. They didn't have a land of their own. We just saw that in the book of Joshua, right? When they divided up the lands between all the tribes, the Levites did not get a piece. They had no inheritance among the people of Israel. And that is because they were meant to live among all the other tribes, and they had the special job of serving in the temple. They were priests for the people. They conducted worship. They were basically connecting God's people with God. They were dedicated to this work. They didn't have other jobs. And to look after them, the rest of God's people, they each gave a tenth. They gave a tithe of what they produced so that the Levites would have their needs provided for. If you look elsewhere in the Bible, Deuteronomy 26, it also says that the tithe was to look after the poor and the fatherless and the widow. And so this was also like a built-in social security system, a built-in Centrelink for God's people too. And like the other laws that we've been talking about, this was also a reminder to God's people about what they were about. It's a reminder that the things that they have are not actually theirs. They're gifts from God, and God deserves the credit for them. It's a reminder that there are people among them who are needy, and that those who have much should share with those who have little. And it's a reminder that there are people among them also who care about that spiritual dimension of their lives. And it's a good thing if they are freed up to be able to do this full time. In other words, that tithe, that 1 in 10, was a sign of connection. It was both vertical and horizontal, right? It was that vertical connection because they're connected to God. But it's also that horizontal connection. They're connected to each other. It's kind of like a meal where everyone brings something. We've had a few of these in our church, right? Chinese New Year this year, or some of our growth group meetings, mid-autumn even. It only works if everyone does their bit, if everyone brings something. But there's something powerful about that as well, right? When people contribute out of their own free will, it's different from just paying your taxes. Right, if you do your bit for something like this, it's like a statement that you're making saying, I want to be part of this. I want this to succeed. I want to encourage other people to do the same thing too. It is a sign of connection. And that's what the tithe was as well. It was more than just taxes. It was more than just paying your club membership. This was everyone pitching in. This was community. It was connection to God and to each other. And it's the same with the church today as people give their offerings to church as well, right? Church, you know, I want to say it's been so encouraging seeing people be generous financially to the work of the gospel that we do here. And I hope that you are clear that this is not a tax, right? Like, we don't make everyone do this. We don't send people bills or invoices to give financially to church, because you know, and we know, that would cheapen it, wouldn't it? This is people freely giving as a sign that they value that connection to God and to each other. And so if you're a person who does give to this church, I hope that you're aware of this powerful statement that you're making. And I hope that you feel that connection with the rest of the body, because that's what community is about. It's about people pitching in together when they love something and want to see it grow. And that was the reason behind God's 1 in 10, the reason behind the tithe. And so we've seen those two ratios that guided the lives of the Israelites. We've seen the 1 in 7 and the 1 in 10. But at this point, you might possibly be wondering, like, how could we even do that, like, in this day and age, right? Can we really encourage people to take a Sabbath day when some people have to work on Sundays, when people have shifts to work or overtime, or if you're near the end of a project and it's crunch time? What about if you have international calls or you need to be up in early in the morning on Sunday, maybe because other people don't have the same culture as you? What about if there's a World Cup match on Sunday at 4 a.m, right? Like, this is not as simple as saying to your boss, right, I can't work on Sunday for religious reasons, right? You say that, you might not have a job. So what do you do? Or what about the tithe? You know, church statistics show that the number of Christians who actually give 10% of their income is pretty low. Reach Australia, who do this, they do this kind of statistical work, they set 5% as a more realistic, reasonable target for people to achieve. What about cost of living? What about Sydney property prices? Can you realistically tithe in a situation like that? Can you really do that 1 in 7 and 1 in 10 today? Well, I think the answer to that question is that it's important to look at the way that Jesus treated these two ratios in God's law. And when you read the Gospels, the historical accounts of the life of Jesus, what you find was that Jesus was a lot more fuzzy on these ratios compared to other Jewish religious leaders. On the topic of the Sabbath, the 1 in 7, Jesus and his followers, they willingly defied a lot of the Jewish traditions on the Sabbath. He and his disciples walked through fields and picked heads of grain on the Sabbath. Jesus healed on the Sabbath. He even encouraged other people to break the traditions of the Sabbath. He heals a paralyzed man and then tells him to pick up his mat and walk. All those things were seen as illegal on the Sabbath. Then on the topic of the tithe, the 1 in 10, there were lots of religious leaders, Pharisees and scribes in the Bible. They gave 1 in 10 to God. They gave even more than 1 in 10. But Jesus wasn't happy with them because they treated it like it was a legal obligation. They treated it like a tax, like an invoice to be paid. They treated it as something to show off about. Look how good a person I am. Look at how much I give. They didn't treat it like it was a connection between them and God and them and each other. And so Jesus, when he ministered on earth, he disappointed a lot of people who really liked the 1 in 7 and the 1 in 10. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that keeping these ratios is just optional, right? Like, you know, do it if you can, do it if you want to, but if you can't, it's fine. I'm not sure it's as simple as that. And I'm not sure that that's what Jesus said either. I think what Jesus was trying to say was that we need to get to the deeper meaning of these laws. And the deeper meaning is that these laws are all about him. They're all about Jesus. They're fulfilled in Jesus. In the Gospels, Jesus says he is Lord of the Sabbath. He says that true rest is found in him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. As we come to Jesus, as we listen to Jesus, as we gather here in church, Jesus is present and we have that Sabbath rest. And this is a preview of that ultimate Sabbath rest that we will have with Jesus in heaven. And when it came to the tithe, Jesus pointed out quite perceptively that the people who were the most studious and disciplined in their tithing were also often the ones who most loved money. And they didn't have a lot of room in their heart for Jesus. And maybe that's why Jesus actually didn't talk about tithing a lot. He never commanded people to give 10%, because what was more important was that they recognized that you can't serve God and money, that our wealth is temporary. We can't take it with us when we die. And we're meant to seek treasures in heaven rather than treasures on earth. That was the way of life Jesus lived. That was what Jesus taught, and we are meant to follow him in that. And so for Jesus, much more important than strict legalistic observance of the 1 in 7 and the 1 in 10, more important than that is a heart that wants to worship Jesus. And I think maybe that helps us when it comes to the question of what do we do when our society makes it hard for us to Sabbath and to tithe. Just say you're a slave. Just say that you have a slave master. Your slave master makes you work all day, or the rest of the time you live in a cell. And your slave master says to you, look, I own you. You are my possession. All of your time belongs to me. But I am a generous master. I will let you worship your God 5 minutes a week. You can't do that whole day, right? You can't do the 1 in 7, right? That ratio of time is probably closer to 1 in 1,000. But you would take those 5 minutes, wouldn't you? And even more than that, you would crave those 5 minutes. You would be looking forward to those 5 minutes when you get to remember that you're actually not a slave. That you're not a slave to work, you're not a slave to money, you actually belong to God. And if you ever got free, you would be trying to get as close to that 1 in 7 as you can. Same with money, I think, as well. Like, I've talked with Christians who want to be generous, but for one reason or another, they can't be. A few times, they are Christians, but they are living with non-Christian parents. Their parents see how much they give. They have access to their bank accounts. They get angry and upset at it. Maybe it's better there to honor your parents. Right? Just save it up. Give it later when you move out, when you have more independence. I guess what I'm saying is that, yes, our earthly circumstances will restrict our behavior in all sorts of ways. But what I hope is that it doesn't restrict our hearts. That we have hearts that want to worship, want to share, want to give God what he is worth. Because that's what the 1 in 7 and the 1 in 10 is meant to teach us. Now that said, I think specific to our church, there are still a few things that we can take away. And the first one is off the back of what Jesus said, right? It's all about the heart. And we might feel restrained by our circumstances, by our responsibilities, by our busyness. But at the same time, I want to encourage you that perhaps you have more control over your life than you realize. John Piper, lead pastor at Bethlehem Baptist Church in the US, he said, one of the great uses of Twitter and Facebook will be to prove at the last day that prayerlessness was not from a lack of time. Now, you see what he's saying there? When it comes to worship, we often think, you know, I can't go to church. I've got work to complete. I've got to study. I've got to finish this assignment. I've got to write this email, write this document. That's why I can't do the 1 in 7. But I suspect that for some people, you could have solved that problem in your 6 out of 7 if you had done less doom scrolling. If you didn't binge watch that TV show, if you didn't get caught up in that gaming marathon, if you had stopped and gone to bed at 10 p.m. rather than 1 a.m., right? I'm not saying that there aren't genuine emergencies. Of course there are. But maybe I am saying that sometimes our love of worthless things is the emergency. It's our lack of self-control that is the emergency. We have more control over our lives than we realize. And then maybe second thing for us, kind of related, recognize which side you're on. When it comes to the 1 in 7, I know that there are lots of people who need to hear God deserves more of your time, right? God wants, he deserves that 1 in 7. You have the time to give, give it to God. A lot of people need to hear that. But I think you can kind of flip that script as well, because I think there are also a lot of people who might need to hear the 6 in 7. Because God says in Deuteronomy 5, the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. But he also says, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. And I think maybe there are some of us who need to hear that. That for some of us, the balance maybe needs to be not so much I should worship more, but maybe in those other days, perhaps I should do more work. Of course, there are probably some people who need to hear both, right, who are neither worshipping nor working, but you get my point, right? You might have heard the slogan from the world, work hard, play hard, right? God's 1 in 7 is not really that, is it? It's more work hard, worship hard, right? We should want to worship, but we should also want to work. And there is some reason, wisdom in recognizing which is the particular temptation for you, which one you are more likely to sin on. Recognize which side you're on. It's a very trite thing to say that it's all about finding that balance. There is even a meme about it. It took 28 years to realize that no matter what the meeting is about, if you randomly chime in with it's just about finding that balance, people will always agree. Feel free to try that in your next meeting, by the way. But I want to say that Christians have a bit of an advantage in finding that balance, because we know the God who balances the world. We know the God who has set in place the rhythms of creation, which are the rhythms of our lives. And as much as we can, he calls us to live in harmony with that. Let me pray that we will. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you do know us and that you have made this world a certain way. And thank you that you also share with us this way that you have made the world, so that we may work properly and rest properly and give due time and energy to you. Heavenly Father, we pray that as we look at your 1 in 7 and your 1 in 10 in Scripture, that we may see them not just as rules to follow, not just as legalistic observances that we're meant to do as part of our religion. Please help us to see that deeper meaning of it. To find rest in Jesus, to be content with what we have, to seek treasures in heaven rather than treasures on earth. And Lord, we pray that we may be guided by these principles as much as we are able in the complexities and restrictions that we face in our lives. We pray that you may shape our hearts to do what is right and good according to what your scriptures teach us. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.